Welcome back to the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. It doesn't happen a lot, but sometimes Congress considers laws covering the judicial branch of government beyond appropriations. The death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia has resurrected questions about the court and its ethics regulations. We get more from CQ Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And David, is this because that Scalia took trips and so forth that some people are questioning, or what's going on here?
That is absolutely right, which is that Justice Scalia was the most widely traveled of the nine members of the court that he was on. The annual financial disclosures that they do have to file suggested that he took more trips on the dime of others than any of the other justices. This is allowed. They self-police themselves, and they just have to disclose when they go to conferences or to give lectures overseas or to teach, appear at symposiums, even go to political gatherings. They just have to disclose this. Some of the trips that he took in his life were widely discussed and criticized by his critics, mostly on the left. He famously went and appeared at a couple of political conferences run by the Koch brothers, the conservative multi-billionaire fundraisers. That was criticized, he and Clarence Thomas both. He also famously went on a hunting trip as the guest of Vice President Cheney when there was actually a lawsuit involving Cheney's release of public records that was before the Supreme Court. So sort of his death has just sort of revived all that and has advocates of a stricter Supreme Court code of ethics in Congress trying to push their bill anew. They haven't really had much success yet. Both all the advocates of this legislation essentially are Democrats, and they are getting no Republican traction for this at all.
And I guess the justices all take these kinds of trips. It was just a matter of degree and quantity that
Scalia did? That's right. All eight of the surviving members of the court had taken these trips in recent years. It's just that Scalia was sort of the most traveled. And, of course, sort of heightening this discussion was the fact that he actually died on just such a trip. It was a hunting trip. It was a personal trip. But he was staying at this Texas ranch as the guest of a Houston businessman, one of whose companies had just had a case before the Supreme Court in the last year. So it just sort of, it wasn't an exact conflict, clearly, because the justices had already considered this case and decided not to review the appeal of the lower court. But nonetheless, it was sort of a reminder that justices are constantly running into at least the potential for conflicts of interest, and shouldn't they maybe have to have the same code of conduct that applies to all other federal judges? That's sort of the other point here, which is that all other federal judges have to abide by this code of ethics that is set out in statute, but the Supreme Court is exempt from it, and they say they need to be exempt from it because of the sort of unique nature of themselves as the top of the judicial pinnacle, and that while they try to live by this law, they shouldn't be formally bound by it.
So where is the new law coming from, and what would it do? Or not the new law, but the bill that's being resurrected.
Well, so there are bills, identical bills in both the House and the Senate, that would require the Supreme Court to adopt a code of conduct for itself. They could write it themselves. They wouldn't have to adopt the one that applies to all other judges, but it would require them to come up with a comparable code of conduct that they all thought that they could abide by. As I say, it's only got Democratic sponsors. Not a single Republican has signed on, because Republicans generally think this whole issue that we're discussing is cooked up by the Democrats to just poke at the conservatives on the Supreme Court. That having been said, Senator Chuck Grassley, the Republican chairman of the Judiciary Committee, does have his own bill that would create an inspector general for all the judiciary that would have the power to look at allegations of conflicts and waste, fraud, and abuse at the Supreme Court. And he has got zero co-sponsors for that legislation, and it doesn't even have a companion in the House. So as I say, there's a little bit of sort of water cooler talk in judicial circles and in legal circles in Washington, but at least at the moment, doesn't look like it's going anywhere legislatively.
We're speaking with CQ Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins, and just a point on this Grassley bill, this would be only for the Supreme Court that would have an inspector general?
No, it would be an inspector general for the entire judicial branch, but it would have the power to look at all levels of the judiciary, including the Supreme Court.
So that would be a really big job if someone got that.
That would be a big job, rather a large job. Senator Grassley, in both cases, both these bills are not new. They have been introduced in years past. They have never gotten so much as a hearing or a markup. So I don't think at the moment, nothing has changed in the last few days, despite sort of some press attention to this issue.
All right. And the Senate has been having a lot of hearings early in the week. What do you see ahead on the legislative agenda that's this coming week in the House?
Well, the Senate has the Capitol to itself this week. The House is gone for the week. I think the Senate is having a hearing into John King to go from being the acting education secretary to the education secretary. They're trying to suggest here that one of the things they're trying to suggest is that their resistance to even having coffee with a potential Supreme Court nominee does not extend to cabinet level or other administration jobs. And there are the usual budget hearings. That having been said, the budget process appears to be running aground. Conservative Republicans continue to make lots of protestations about debating a budget without revisiting the sequester caps and trying to lower spending. And as a result, there's an impasse on the budget.
And just out of curiosity, do we know how the two senators remaining left in the Republican race and the one in the Democratic race, Bernie Sanders, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, didn't quite say that in the right order, are they returning for any of these debates or any of these hearings, or are they just completely checked out from their Capitol Hill duties?
They are pretty close to checked out. I'm not sure whether any of them are going to come back this week. I would tend to doubt it. I did look at their attendance records for so far this year, and the three that you just mentioned do have the three lowest attendance records of any senator. Marco Rubio sort of took it on the chin mostly last fall because in 2015, he stood out among the presidential candidates for having the lowest attendance record. But so far this year, all of them are in single digits in terms of the percentage of the roll call votes that they've showed up for.
I guess the other thing affecting the executive branch this week, and there's not a whole lot going on, but there is the issue of where the president will live when he leaves the White House. Historically, they go far away, and it doesn't look like it's going to happen this time.
It does not. President Obama signaled last week that he would remain in Washington at least until his younger daughter graduates from high school. She goes to Sidwell Friends School, which is a private school in Northwest Washington. So they'll probably stay. My guess is that they will stay in Northwest Washington. He'll be the first president to put down any kind of roots in the city after being president since Woodrow Wilson, which was coming up on right exactly a century ago.
And Woodrow Wilson, of course, was mostly immobile for those last 4 years of his life.
He was pretty ill. He had a stroke. He was not much of a presence on the Washington scene. So we will see the president's actually been not an absentee father. I live kind of near Sidwell, and you can sense that when he's in the neighborhood, he comes and he's coached his other daughter's basketball team for a while, and he comes to parent-teacher conferences. So we can assume that a former president running around Northwest will be interesting and might require those of us to extend our commutes once in a while.
Yeah, well, the radio station is right near Sidwell Friends, and maybe the president will try the new oyster place that opened up right around the corner from here. David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends. 55 past the hour. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin. Follow us on facebook.com/Federal News Radio and on Twitter. Our handle is @FedNewsRadio. Up next, the top national and federal headlines. I'm Tom Temin.